Welcome to the OCRWC podcast. In this episode, I'm joined by Swedish OCR power couple, Sara and Martin Bäckström. In the last few months, they've been taking the OCR world by storm, and this weekend, they're in Belgium for the FISO World Championships.
Welcome, guys. I'm so glad to get you on finally.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks. Yeah.
So people online might know you as Team Stream. You have a joint Instagram account.
Yeah. Exactly. And it comes from our last name. Yeah. So we are married.
Yes.
Yeah.
And before my name was Forsström.
Yeah. And that's like river stream. And and Bäckström is also like river stream.
Yeah.
Kind of. We took it like, yeah, Team Stream. Exactly. Sounded cooler than Team Ström.
Yes.
I always wondered why, but it's cool.
It's not that we are streamline shaped or anything.
No. Well, streams are fast moving and pacey, and you guys are exactly that. You're both OCR athletes. You both compete at an international level, and so it works.
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah, and people, you know, they say when they hang out with us, they are calling us that we are with Team Stream.
Yeah.
So we're not Martin and Sara, we are Team Stream.
Yeah. It's our brand.
Yep.
Yeah.
Love it. It's cool. Yeah. So how did you get into OCR? Did you know each other before you started, or did you meet through the sport?
No, we actually meet at the university on the dance floor. Yes, and then it was you, Martin.
I stalked her a bit.
Yep, you did. Yeah. And then we start to see each other, and you had done the toughest the year before.
Yeah,
and you thought that, well, hey, it's fun. We let's do this together, and then we did our first OCR
toughest race in Gothenburg.
So
that's how it started, and then we traveled to London actually and competed at toughest race London Pippingford, I think.
About 2016 would have that have been
that's right. Correct.
And we came like, I don't know,
top 50?
Yeah, not 15.
No,
like 50. And we were like, yeah, this, we are really good at this.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
I think it took me like 1.5 hours.
Yeah. Eight K race.
Yes.
So it's not fast,
but
still.
Still, yeah. And then we just, let's do this. And and now it's in our everyday life. In our lifestyle.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle.
So we breathe OCR.
You both compete quite a lot. You both came second in the World OCR rankings last month that OCRWC does. And I mean, it was a tricky one because you guys did so many races last month. I even had to contact you because I was like, I am confused by how many podiums you guys got.
Yeah.
A lot going on, and you did a lot and you performed really well. So what took you from top 50th to multiple podiums in a month?
Oh, yeah. A lot of training.
Yes.
And a lot of training. And also like... Yeah, I think the most important component is, I think it's that we are together and doing it's our lifestyle, as Sarah said. So we can like help each other, not just during the workouts, but
mentally.
Yeah, mentally and yeah.
And we have we do understand that we want to do this and. Yeah, exactly. And when something isn't working out, we help each other and think outside the box and try new things.
Yeah.
I think that's also one of the things that makes us better.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it is.
It's so nice to have that support from each other.
Yeah, it is, for sure. But it's also risky that, it gets too much into OCR.
Yeah.
I mean, it's our relationship as well. So we have to be careful about that, but it hasn't been a problem.
No, I don't think so.
Yes.
No.
I mean, it's great that you both love it, that you're able to make it, you know, it can be something that you do together and try to support each other, because it does become a large part of your life. I think if you don't have partners who are supportive, it could be difficult because there's so much travel and so much money.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And for now, we have like a nice situation for us, because we're both psychologists actually.
Yeah.
So we can help each other mentally as well.
Yes.
But also our working situation is like we go to the office one day per week.
Uh-huh.
Even Sarah goes every second week, one day, and then we can work from home every day without the schedule or anything. So we're more like consultants. So we can train twice a day and still do a job.
Yeah.
So that makes it like possible to be like a professional athlete and still have a job.
Amazing.
It's amazing that you both do the same job as well. Has there ever been any kind of competition between the two of you, having your careers and OCR being the same?
Yeah, leave it for Sarah. You can answer. Okay. There's been a little bit competition. I think Sarah, it's always the female male thing, you know, the physical thing is.
I do compare myself with you and try to do the things that you do.
Mm-hmm.
But we are different, so what works for you doesn't always work for me. But I always try.
Yeah, you always try. Yeah, but we had like a discussion about that a couple of years ago, where we talked about it. Like, you cannot compete against me in like the physical.
No,
parts.
That's impossible.
Yeah,
yeah, it is.
Yeah. Of course, you're not going to beat him on the course. You know, Lindsay is not going to beat Ryan.
No.
I imagine maybe you can have competition in terms of, you know, how you're placing respectively.
Could be.
But it's not so much that anymore, I think. No.
It's more like the problem is that it's become almost like a routine that when I win, then Sarah has a little bit worst race, ends up like third or fourth or something, and then she wins, and then I mess up at the race.
So
we are never ever happy together. It's a real problem.
That's a problem. Yeah,
it's one supporting the other.
Exactly. Yeah, but I mean, I can still be happy for your when you succeed or do something. That's really good, but still, I mean, we are both two individuals also with emotions and so on, so
and a couple, but you are individual people. It's tricky. It's like it's a brand, like you say, but you still have your own individual feelings. It's very natural to kind of
definitely
mixed feelings over things, I guess. It's an interesting dynamic. It's not one that we see an awful lot in many sports, actually. So it's pretty cool. But I love that you both have the same careers as well, though. Like,
yeah.
It's like we do everything together.
Yes.
And now
you really like each other.
Yeah. We do. And we never fight.
No. Not like that.
No.
It's, so we don't have the pride, you know, when you have to have the rights. So it's more like we back off a bit and
say sorry.
Yeah. It's easier.
And does what you do professionally play into your sporting career in any way? Does it help you with the, you know, the skills that you have and the things that you do?
Yeah, it does, but still it's always hard to, what do you say in Swedish, it's like to live as you learn. I don't know if it's an English saying. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Didn't learn, I think.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's always hard. It's like people think that.
Yeah.
Because you're a psychologist, then you don't.
Then you do things perfectly, but we don't. No.
Not at all. It's much easier to help others.
Yeah.
Than to help yourself.
But we try. Yeah. We try to do that to, you know, live as we learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least I think we do it in the analysis afterwards, and when we analyze like our behaviors and everything, and then we learn from it, but not in the moment. It's more like afterwards.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah.
Exactly.
So you've been doing this for quite a while and racing together. You've traveled a lot. Last year you were OCRWC. You had a great weekend there from what I saw. What other kind of events have you taken on together worldwide?
Ooh, yeah, what have we done? It's
London.
Yeah, it's more the OCLVC is like London 2018
and
19. And then what have we been?
To Mallorca.
Yeah, Mallorca this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did a Spartan race.
Actually our first Spartan.
Yeah.
We did this year. Yeah. Really liked it. Yeah.
Was That's interesting that this was your first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never done it. We don't have we don't have Spartan race in like Scandinavia.
No.
And you've got so many other brands, haven't you? You've got so many
That's true. We do.
So mostly we've been doing like toughest race and tough Viking.
Small races. Yeah.
So more in Scandinavia than the rest of the world.
Yeah, I would say so. It's not exactly.
What did you think of Spartan for your first go? What were your thoughts?
I really liked the terrain and the obstacles I really liked the concept. Yeah, I did.
It's a little bit. People are talking in Sweden and I don't know in Scandinavia about like Spartan is a
running
race. No obstacles and all this stuff, but still the like the carries, they are very long, and when the terrain has a lot of hills, then suddenly it's a intense race and
exactly.
there
yeah.
are obstacles still, so it's I think it was a nice race.
I think so too, and I there were a lot of obstacles in my opinion, and I really liked it. I really did.
Yeah.
So it wasn't our last Spartan.
No, don't think so. We were really like into. We wanted to go and do the 3K elite series.
Yeah,
but it didn't work out with the
schedule.
Yeah, with our schedule
because
we are racing a lot.
Yes, we couldn't fit them all.
So Sweden's been quite known for a very technical style of racing. Especially kind of when toughest was very big, and that was kind of for me, I felt anyway, the introduction of big rigs, very technical rigs, etc. How did Spartan compare to that typical style of racing that you have there?
Oh,
sorry about the noise.
Yeah. We're sitting outside. So I think toughest is still a more technical race than Spartan because you have like the salmon ladder and the a lot of nunchucks and rigs but still the technical obstacles. I always like get a bit like upset when people talk about the technical obstacles because we spend so much time on like working out and training on different techniques on like how you can take a wall and how you can crawl faster and how you run faster downhill.
Yeah.
It's all about the technique. So it's always, I get what a technical obstacle is, but still I think
you don't really agree.
I don't agree about it.
No.
If you get what I mean.
Yeah, so tell me more about that.
Yeah, I think like we had a race, wasn't it last weekend? in two weeks ago in Lidköping. In Sweden. So there was a obstacle where you were supposed to go under like 20 times. And then I came there next to another guy, and I gained like 5-6 seconds on this obstacle. But we still have the same physical abilities and everything, but I used a different technique than he did. So that's a technical obstacle, right?
Yeah. Even if it's a simple obstacle.
Yeah. So I think more like I more like the terms like a grip obstacle and a crawling obstacle and a wall and so on. It's more like that. Yes. So,
yeah, you're absolutely right. Because I mean, I've seen people do weavers, for example, and that would be a banner of a technical rig. But the technique that you have on a weaver, I mean, I've seen some that are just so smooth, and obviously have taken a lot of practice. So yeah, I suppose all obstacles are technical, and definitely, yeah, I should use a better term to describe them. Valid point. Valid point.
Yeah. But still, I get what you mean as well.
Yeah, because people, it's a common word for it. Yeah. So people say that, and
And still, people in Sweden think that the races in Sweden aren't that technical. It's more Denmark, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I know that Denmark has tech.
You're allowed to say
this. Yes,
I was referring to, but I thought Sweden did as well.
So it's because it became a little bit of a shock to us when we competed at the Euros the first time. Like, oh Jesus, it's just grip obstacles, everything.
Yeah, it was.
Was that Euros a couple of years ago that was, I mean, so difficult, where a lot of people couldn't complete?
Yeah, that was great. We didn't attend that
in Denmark.
No, so our first Euros was in Italy. It was like last year, wasn't it? Yeah.
But still, we.
So
for us, it felt like there are just rigs everywhere. Yeah. Where are all the other obstacles?
Exactly. And I mean, most people, some people like that. Yeah. And it's fine. But we like more that kind of OCR races where it's, you know, walls and you do crawling and this variation.
Yeah, you have the variation.
Yeah.
If there's a rig, then there should be a wall afterwards or a carry, and then you can have a rig. It's more like that view we have of it. But still, we try to... So it's not an excuse.
No,
it's more like, okay, we think it should be like this, but we want to be as good as we can on a more grip-based race as well. And I think that's also where we have like become better and better.
Yeah.
So that's also our explanation to the results, last...
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we've been, you know, stronger and more, have more self-confidence in those technical obstacles.
it's OCR is still so broad and varied, isn't it? It's, hard to, you know, I know John Alban used to say that he runs mountains and he does bouldering, and that prepares him for everything. And I was kind of, you're a machine. A lot of us have to, well, myself certainly, I can only speak for myself. I had to learn technique. So even if my grip strength was good, I still had to learn technique to be able to get through an obstacle. I wasn't good enough to be able to transfer what I already knew to a completely new setup, which is not great. But, you know, once I learned the technique, then I could just do and do and do.
That's true.
So many variations on obstacles now. And it's kind of, you know, every event pushes to try something. Yeah. With then obviously the complications of weather, etc.
the rain protocol in Hungary this summer at Euros, for example.
Yes.
So they changed the obstacles, some rules.
Yeah, due to the rain.
Due to the rain.
So what kind of rules did they change?
It didn't affect the race that much, I think, but it was
No.
like you cannot skip the first grip.
So you cannot just run in and jump because, yeah, they thought that was
dangerous. Yeah.
Mm. What do you think of how do you think that's a good idea?
No,
I don't think so,
no.
actually. I mean, you can always fall. It's I think you should like put some soft what do you say, mattresses or something under the obstacles instead. But if
it's
you don't have
tricky,
them,
isn't it?
If you don't have them in place, of course, then you need to do something else. So
I mean, it's difficult. I mean, we've been very fortunate that kind of, actually, I'm not going to say that because I don't want to put any, with a big race coming this weekend, I don't want to put it must be hard for race directors to get the right balance between and allowing people to have freedom to do obstacles and speed of doing obstacles. And I can see why brands would be cautious.
Yeah, for sure.
Scary.
It's been like a discussion in Sweden a lot about the rule systems and how to build obstacles and the courses, how much like grip based they should be and how you should think about rules and everything.
Yeah.
So it's been, I'm jumping a little bit in the discussion here, but it's been about the free wristband rules.
Oh,
you know, so it's like they work in one way. It works because you don't have the cues at obstacles, but it makes the athletes more like cautious. And you get more like, I think, anxiety before the races.
Yes, I can.
Sarah can speak to that.
Yeah, I think so. So with this new system, for me, to be honest, I don't think OCR is so much fun anymore. Or I do think it's fun, but it affected my, you know, love for OCR because it's not. It's I prefer the
OCR VC.
The rules that the OCR VC have. because then you can, you know, you can go through, you don't, because with this new system you risk the thing that you don't go through, you can
if you it's even if you lose like two bands, then
you don't
then
complete,
you don't finish the race.
No. And what other sports is that a
it's not that common. You have sports where you don't finish because you have made some mistakes, right?
No,
you just finish a bit down in the list.
And also, what does that do to people?
Does that bring people back to races, or does it take them away?
So I don't really like it because of that, but I can still, I do understand why they have it, why they, because of the cues. But still, it's not the perfect.
It's not the perfect system.
No, it's hard to find.
Do you have a solution for this?
Well, I mean, I understand that, you know, a new brand will want to, or a new organization, should I say, will want to try something different. I do personally think the one band system that OCRWC uses is good. The times I've ever raced using that, I found it incredible. Difficult. And in fact, I DNF'd on my first race with a band because I just couldn't get over losing it. Hypothermia, and it was also a very tricky race, and it was very cold, and it was a good race, but it was a bit too cold. It was British Championships in 2015, I think. But then the penalty loop idea. It still needs work because there's too many options to touch and go rather than a concerted effort. I know Spartan are changing that slightly and making it more consistent to the obstacle. So the penalty will be more consistent to the obstacle. And I always kind of go with the theory that the sport is still growing and there needs to be exploration. But what I don't love is when this exploration really impacts the athletes.
Because
it's not fair on the people who are putting in the work. You know, you're not guinea pigs. So you want
yeah.
We don't, I don't know what the answers is. The answers are.
No.
How do you feel about the OCRWC system where it's one band?
I think it's more for us at least suiting system.
Because I mean it should be, you know, OCR and not just like running a like touch and go. And you need to think how you build the course. Yeah. And I think that
that's true.
The OCR WWEC is good at that.
Yeah,
because
they make good courses
with good obstacles that are challenging but doable.
So we've been talking about that a lot because it's easy to get into the rule system when you should also look at it with another perspective. Like as Sarah is saying, it's like, yeah, maybe the queues won't be there if you build courses that don't like create queues. If you think as a organizer how to build things, you can make a challenging rig. But still, you can have like ropes that you can ties on the ropes, that you can stand on, or you can use your feet in the rig or anything. So most of the people get through it.
Yes.
But the really good guys, they get through it fast.
Yeah.
So you just gain time through the course because it's racing. It's not like we don't want to. We don't want to give people penalties like
for trying,
penalize people for trying or being a little bit bad at something.
Yeah,
it's more like encourage people, and then we need to make them go through the obstacles, but still they can see that I could have done this faster. I think that's more a better way to see it.
Yes, because
to clarify on the three band system, and I know I have found this out before, but I've completely forgotten. Is it similar to the Spartan system where you have one try, or is it you have multiple tries until you give up a band?
That's a good question. It's like there are some obstacles like walls and those where you have like infinite tries. Like multiple tries, because they like are counting that you will get through it. Mm-hmm. And then there are some obstacles that just have one try on it.
Mostly the rigs.
Mostly the rigs. The technical obstacles.
Yes.
Because I did think, you know, when you said that the system will cause anxiety, I thought, well, you've got three bands, so you have three opportunities. Whereas with OCRWC or the one band system, you have the one band, but of course you have multiple tries with your one band, and you can stay at the rig for 2 hours if you want to keep your band. I can imagine that kind of thinking it's this or bust. Now, a lot of people who are podiuming are going to be doing things on their first try. Not always. People do. I mean, again, John Alban, I think I saw him fall off Sketch in, it 2019? He came off Sketch, possibly. Don't quote me on that. So, you know, it happens that, but on the whole, you know, but then again, I don't know how difficult the obstacles at the Euros and the World, the FISO World Championships are. And they can be quite tricky, can't they? So I can see why that would cause more anxiety.
And it's also like we said, like about how you build obstacles, because if you have this rule system where you can just fail two obstacles, because then you cannot fail three, then you're out. So you can fail two times, and then if you build like, say that you have like 15 rigs where you have like metal grips on them for three or four of them, you can do that when it's not raining, but then suddenly it's raining and then you just slip of the obstacles.
Yes.
So the race is done.
Yeah.
Then the rule system won't work at all. Yeah. So then you need to adapt the course. So you need to think how you build courses and what type of materials you use and everything. It's more like, you need to be more analyzed and think about it, it when you use this rule system, I think.
Yeah.
Takes out people from the races more.
Yes.
You can slip, you can touch a line.
You can do some stupid mistakes. Yeah. And you're not, as it is now, you're not really allowed to do that because then you probably lose a podium spot if you do that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But there are other perspectives as well, because in Sweden, we can always practice the course before. So we can always practice the obstacles. It's open.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we come out in Europe and you're not even allowed to like touch the course or even look at it almost.
Yeah.
And the obstacles are secret and it's a different sport than it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
You should, in my world, you should be able to prepare for something. And that also counts in like knowing what comes.
Exactly.
If the sports wants to be Olympic or
what big.
Big.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, that, isn't it? Because we don't allow it at OCLWC. People are not allowed to go on the obstacles. They were. I remember in 2016 in Blue Mountain. I think it was 2016. Mm. Yes, it must have been. People were... Yeah, that must have been it. People were walking the course and they were trying the obstacles. And then after that, it wasn't allowed. And I didn't know. And so I think that's what I seem to remember, people trying like a ninja pole obstacle. And it became no longer allowed. I'm not quite sure what the reasoning is. I mean, my first thought would be insurance.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You've got a big mountain course or something that's 10 kilometers off that's not being. Watched, you can't ensure that everyone's safe, and it's just, you know, people's safety is a real biggie. But then you think, could you not do something? This is me talking from a non-production point of view. Obstacles, just as a dreamer, is there nothing that you could build in the event village that would give people a chance to play on different grips or just small things that would just kind of give people a bit of fun? Because I love that idea, and it gives people who aren't racing a bit of a chance to have a go, and people see that and they're like, oh yeah, I want to try stuff.
Exactly.
That's what they actually that's what they are doing here in Belgium actually. So they are building all the harder obstacles in the event area so that you can warm up with them.
Cool.
It's a new thing, so we'll see how it works. It was a problem in Hungary because they did almost the same there, but they just build one rig and then they put up grips, and it was sunny outside, like 30 degrees, and people use sun cream. So it just made everyone terrified about going out to the course then. So it didn't work at all.
No, it's gonna be a tough one.
But otherwise you could like have the day before the race. You could have some like volunteers, the referees from the for the course or something, just standing at the critical obstacles, and then you could have like 2 hours where it's free to try out the obstacles on the course.
Yeah. Reps,
where you sign up for it, and you get around the insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be lovely to find a way around it. I mean, not gonna lie, from my point of view, when I'm wanting to do things like obstacle previews, we can't use anyone who's an athlete because the rules state you're not allowed to touch the obstacles before. So then you're looking around the crew like, guys, who's free and who can do these obstacles well enough? That's really difficult. So it would make my life easier from I think it would be really nice if that could be worked out. Like I said, I don't actually know all the reasons why we don't, but I'm sure it's boring technical stuff that, you know, I can't be bothered with. Oh, Belgium, that is where you currently are, and you said it was raining as well. So let's talk about what's happening this weekend in Belgium.
You can start.
Well, yes, so on Friday it's the 3K.
It's the world championship.
It's the world championship.
Pfizer world championship.
Yeah. Yes. Start that. So on Friday is the short course 3K. And Saturday is I think it's 14K. It's a standard course.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday it's the team.
Yeah, it's relay. a t- team team competition. It's not a relay, it's a team competition.
Yeah, exactly. So we are running, three people together, 6K.
Yeah. Doing obstacles together, seems like.
Yeah.
Now, how does the team event work for the FISO champs?
So it's you are three people, and it's the only competitive field is mixed. And since there are three people in each team, then you need to have one of each gender. So, but then there will be two of one gender and one from the other gender. And of course, it's two male, one female.
So they only do mixed gender team.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. Okay.
I'm not sure about this.
No. So. Yeah. So not really sure.
Nah. Okay. They've been talking about it, but maybe it's also a female and a male. I don't know.
No.
I shouldn't say too much.
No.
So you have to
but still. Yeah, but still, I think a lot.
Yeah, you think a lot.
Yeah, but a mixed competition should have four people in it or two.
Why?
Because it should be two females and two males. Why have two males and one female? I don't understand that.
No.
No, it's more like the that perspective. You know, it should be equal.
So how is the team event divided up for the FISO champs?
So it's not divided up, so you do everything together.
Okay, so you all three run alongside each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we'll be pushing Sarah in the back all the way.
So I'm going to run so fast.
Yeah.
And are the obstacles that require teamwork to complete them, or are they just obstacles you get through?
I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah, it's a bit.
So some obstacles you need to, help each other.
Mm.
Some people and some obstacles you do. Oh yeah, on the line. I think. Yeah.
So there will be like, obstacle where we are carrying one of the team members.
Probably me.
Yeah, it could be you. and what is it more? It's like the floor is lava thing.
Okay.
So it's like you have the bricks that you stand on, and you're supposed to move them.
Cool. Yeah, I can picture that.
Yeah. So that's also in the team competition, which kind of feels like a little bit, silly.
Not so serious, but
yeah, it's more like a party thing.
Yeah, it's not so serious, but requires good communication, which can
that's a good point.
That's important for teams, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely, that's a good point. Yeah,
I think it's difficult to create obstacles that are to be completed as teams.
Yeah, I think so too. Maybe it could have been easier just to do a relay, otherwise.
Yeah, but it's fun to have some obstacle that you have to do together because then it's team.
Yeah. You could have like a fourth. Like the last part where you do the like OCRVC has on the the high wall
thing.
Yeah. So that's a perfect team obstacle, I would say.
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It could be like a carry that requires four people or I suppose just the idea of running all four three people. It's three people.
Yeah.
All three together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you have to do it as a team because you have to be together all the time anyway. So it's kind of scary.
Yeah, it's true. It's the team won't be better than the worst part, but still you can have some like synergy effect in it. Like
exactly. And also, that as you said, that the communication on some obstacles.
Yeah.
It's also important.
It's a typical Swedish thing working in teams. We are usually good in teams.
Yeah.
We are not that individualized,
No.
More like a working together thing. Not taking too much
space
as individuals, but more in teams.
Yeah.
It's a typical Swedish thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it suits us.
Hopefully. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So have you any idea of what kind of obstacles you're going to be coming up against? Any? Because I know that FISO are quite renowned for making, they like to experiment with obstacles and always come up with something kind of new. So is there anything that you know that's coming up that will be different or that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, we know one obstacle now that we are like practicing on.
Yeah, not on the course.
Hello. No, we're not testing the obstacles.
But we build it.
Yeah, we built it. It's like a floating dips walk, a dip walk, like it's hanging free.
Yeah, and then you're walking like a dips walk.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I'm sorry.
So it's two metal bars hanging next to each other.
Yeah.
So instead of like hanging in them, then you stand on them with your hands.
Ah, okay. So yes, so Spartan has done that a few times, but theirs have always been solid and static.
Yeah,
but
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So ooh. Now it's moving. Really ooh, much.
That's a lovely obstacle. That's really cool. Yeah. Idea and making it so much harder.
Yeah,
it's a really hard
one. So we went to the store and we bought some
sticks
and some rope. So we try to make it kind of the same. But yeah, it was really hard. Hopefully they are not so hard at the course. That's the one we build. Yeah.
Wow. And how kind of long is the distance that you have to go?
It's like a meter, like 1.5 meter or something. And then, but the thing is that it's just the part of a, it's just the beginning of a rig. So you go through it, and then you do a footlock on a rope.
Yes.
And then you're into a like metal bar rig with some ropes and some grips as well. So
it's just a part of one. Yeah. Obstacle.
And it's the last rig on the whole course.
Yes. So you probably will be a bit tired.
Yeah. I mean, I'm picturing like that could really hurt if you know, your arms went too far.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So often with the events that FISO has put on, they've been hosted by other people, like the, from what I understand, the European champs in Hungary were hosted by the local federation and brands in Hungary. How's it working for the world champs? Because I think this is the first world champs that FISO are actually putting on, isn't it? They've had a few plans and COVID and Russia and all that stuff kind of made it not happen. So are they entirely responsible for it themselves, or are they bringing in an event to do it?
I think they are actually responsible for it completely. But then they are like hiring in like some kind of event company, like it's called Golasso or something, but they are like an event company for like creating concerts and this stuff as well. So they are building and like organizing everything. So it's FISO that stands for this for the first time.
Interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it is, because it's the first event is always difficult, isn't it? You know, there's so much, and I guess they've got so many federations they work with. So designing the course, they should be pretty well advised on what to do with the course and the obstacles. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, how it works. I mean, that obstacle just sounds, oh my god,
yeah, I'm
distracted by it.
But otherwise, the course looks really good, and the obstacles, I think.
Yeah, it's a varied course. Yeah. It seems like they have like, we've heard in interviews that they don't want to have like Euros. They want to have a more varied course that more people get through and complete.
Yeah.
But still, it's a challenging course compared to a lot of other kind of races.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It'll be good. I've seen a lot of hype and excitement about it. I know a lot of people are going, even people from the States are going to be there. So, I mean, I hope it will be really good fun. There's going to be good competition there, like a lot of good athletes. So Yeah, it sounds like it'll be pretty exciting.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Sounds
you've
fun.
turned up kind of almost a week early, haven't you? So you must be really looking forward to
Yeah.
it. Yeah. But that's also our thing, the
Yes.
team stream thing,
Yeah.
because we always go before competitions, like usually 2 or 3 days before competition. So we have our own little camper van, of
Yeah.
course.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it's like a lifestyle, and we go on our adventures, and then we race, and then we some days we sometimes we stay 1 day more and just have a nice time there.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I mean, I love that. I often kind of talk about the benefits of OCR tourism and the amount of places I saw from, I won't say racing or competing because I never really did that, but taking part in races.
Yeah.
Places I would never have chosen to go to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And when I did, I loved them and I was so glad I had an opportunity to.
That's true.
Yeah,
That's true.
you see a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who would have thought that we would end up in Wenk?
No.
It's no one, probably.
Exactly.
But still, it's a cozy place. We've had, like, I don't know, more over 30 degrees Celsius
Yes, it's
for a couple
been
of days.
so hot,
Yeah.
but really nice.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So I guess you don't know what's the weather saying for the weekend?
I think it's gonna be like 25 degrees
Celsius.
Celsius.
Yeah.
So it's gonna and sunny and
Yeah.
not so much wind.
Yeah.
So
And also the elite starts like 1 or 2 o'clock.
Yep.
So that's when the sun is standing the highest.
Yep.
So it will be the hottest. Usually we start in the morning, so
Yes.
that's different.
So it's
Yeah. I know the Spartan 3K races has the athletes in the States who have been doing them have been quite tested because they've been kind of like late afternoon and the
That's true.
difference of racing in the heat rather than early morning
Yeah.
coupled with.
Yeah, so
So we'll see.
we'll see, yeah. But yeah, in Sweden this summer, yeah, I think it's been raining like almost on every race we did this
Yeah.
summer.
It
So
has
we
been
don't mind the
awful today.
sun. Yeah.
It has been horrendous, so wet.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
crazy. So yeah, hopefully it won't be wet because with all those technical obstacles.
It's too late,
It's too late.
Martin.
I cannot change this like culture in OCR.
No.
All those grip heavy obstacles.
Yeah, that
There
sounded much better.
we go. So, what are you hoping to achieve this weekend? Have you got any ideas, wishes?
I don't know if I want to say that out loud. Well, yeah, the most important thing is to do a good race with a good feeling and to finish the race with the feeling that you did all that you did all what you could do.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
of
the thing.
course.
And then hopefully that will end up in some good position placement.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the same for me, of course. We both hope for medals.
Yeah,
Of
a
course we do
podium.
that, but still it's been I know Sarah, you've been struggling a bit with your
Yeah.
body this year, so
Yes.
finding the feeling, I think it's also important, really,
Yeah,
for you
yeah.
to do that.
So yeah, so for me that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
But I don't actually have that high hopes for
No.
this as I thought I would have because I've been struggling with my body and find the right feeling and so on. But I think that you are in really good shape, Martin.
So if you're not feeling super positive, Sarah, that means it's going to be Martin's weekend.
Yes, I think so.
We'll see. I don't know.
I mean, you took part in a lot of championship races throughout August, and both of you performed really, really well. So you both seem to be in a good spot. So fingers crossed, both of you can get a couple of really good results that you're happy with. And most of all, like you say, enjoy the race and feel like you did your best and pulled it out the back.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Hope so too.
Yes.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you doing this just before the big weekend. And it's great to kind of catch up with you before you do it. I really want to know how you do afterwards as well. So maybe at some point we can catch up again and kind of get feedback from the race. But good luck. You know, you're on fire at the minute. So fingers crossed that this is going to put you in a good place for both of you.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for having us.
Yeah.
My absolute pleasure. I'm sorry it's taken so long.
The sooner the better.
Exactly.
Okay, so guys, well, good luck this weekend. And do let me know how you get on. And I'll be cheering on. I'll be cheering you on from here.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.